book in the Bible, some real high writing,
real educated Greek. He uses words that
very few other, well, some of the only places in the New Testament he quotes from a lot of ancient writers, including Enoch. He is one, well, actually, many of the writers in the New Testament quote from Enoch, except they just doesn't say this is Enoch saying it. They quote from him and they refer to what he says. But specifically, Jude does quote Enoch, and we just covered this in the last few verses. We're in verse 18, and there's a lot of cross references from this verse to many other places in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And one of the things that Jude writes about, and what my title of this book is the Acts of the Apostates. The Acts of the Apostates. Those that have intentionally stood away from and deserted the faith. An apostate is also known as a reprobate, one that has denied the faith. And the only problem is if these reprobates and apostates would just leave church when they did this, it would be a lot easier on the church. It would. And they are in the churches infiltrating in the fifth column. And we know what a fifth column is, don't you? That's the enemy on the inside. The enemy in your house. He comes in as a friend, posing to be a friend, and yet he is a destroyer. He's an assassin. Long time ago, in early Roman history, there's a word that the word stiletto comes from this word, and the Romans would pay a hitman to walk in. They'd have a great big party. And they'd get everybody together in this big party. And they'd pay this hitman to go in there and kill their enemy. And of course, he was your friend because you invited him to this party. He was probably the honored guest. And they would go in there with a short knife, a stiletto, and stab him right in the heart and walk off. That is who we're talking about here. This type of people. But these are spiritual assassins in God's churches. Spiritual assassins. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. Acts 20 and verse 29. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. 2 Timothy 3 and 1. And 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. Jude 4 and Jude 16 is referring to this. And then, Brother Don, have you got your Bible with you?
Yes.
Leviticus 10. Leviticus 10, 1 through 7. Leviticus 10, 1 through 7. We're going to get a little background before we go read this verse, and then we're going to look at it. Leviticus 10, 1 through... You got it, brother?
Yeah.
Okay, read that for me, please.
Sure. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine, nor strong drink, nor thy sons with thee when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy,
amen,
and between clean, unclean and clean.
That's real straight and real strong teaching, people. As strong as you can get. False religion can destroy you. And I don't care what we think of God or how what kind of a God we manufacture in our minds. The God of heaven is holy. And he does not put up with sin. And he does not put up with strange religion. He will not suffer it to be. What happened here, two sons of Aaron, they had a prescribed way that they were to worship God. And they didn't want to do it. They wanted to do it their way, just like Cain did, you know, in his time. We talk about Cain a lot lately. The book of Jude talks about Cain. Enoch even talked about Cain in his writings. He was a man of false religion and founded a whole system of false religion based upon the works that he produced, not what God did. God's work of salvation, God did it. You have nothing you can glorify yourself in at all being saved. So many people say, well, I was saved. I repented of my sins. You didn't do nothing. You repented of sin because God gave you the gift. Ephesians 2 and 8. For in grace, baptized in grace, for in grace you are having been saved. When you have been saved, what kind of voice is that, brother? Passive voice. You're being acted upon. Nothing to do with you. It says, for in grace you're having been saved through faith by the agency of. Mm-hmm. By the agency of faith. All right, where's the faith come from? You know, we talk about the faith healing circles in the world today. Well, they weren't healed because they didn't have faith. Where's faith come from? It comes from God. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. Plain, real straight, real plain. Not a works lest any man should boast.
Interesting that
faith in
when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, the first attack of the enemies, Sanballat and those guys, was their offer to come and let us help you build. They want to infiltrate.
Fifth column. Yeah. They wanted to kill. They wanted to stop it. Because they had a different religion. A different religion.
Right.
False religion always persecutes truth. We are never supposed to persecute false religion. We're not supposed to let it come among us nor in our church houses. We are supposed to be separate from it. False religion will kill you if they have a chance. All you can do is stand back and preach the truth. That's all we're supposed to do. And people, because of the very reason that you're here tonight in this church house, millions of people died for the faith that you have so freely access to tonight. Millions of people died. Dakota, how many people did you see on the other TV the other night that how they were killing Baptists in England and the Spanish Inquisition? They were killing people, torturing them to the point of death. Torturing them, and these were Baptists who they were killing. They said, well, the church says that you can't shed blood. So they would take them and squish them. Stretch your arms out of joint. Put something in their mouth and jack their mouth open until their jaws broke. Until they recanted their religion. Well, they didn't. No matter what. And then they would burn them at the stake. Get them ready for hell fire, they said. Because they're going to go to hell anyway because they don't believe the established church-state religion. 18, verse 18. Hote. Elegon. Amen. Amen. Ep. Eskatu. Tu. Kronu. Esonte. Empeikte. Kara. Tas. Hioton, Epithenios, Horu Menoi, Ton, Asibeon. All right. Because we have this little conjunction, casual particle that begins this little verse here. Because they have kept on saying to ye. Now, who has kept on saying to them? Who kept on saying? Remember, we always interpret the Bible. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? What's the subject? Who's the ones?
The saints?
No, the apostles the apostles, the writers of the Bible, have kept on saying to you, to ye, they did plural. And by the way, this is third person plural, imperfect indicative active. This little elegon here comes from Lego. And remember the etymology of this word Lego. Remember that, Brother Don?
Huh?
It's a little bird standing out in the yard picking up seed, picking up what he wants. And the idea is, it comes from the Hebrew word dabar also. It's the same word here. Dabar and lego in Greek. And it means to put in a line or in a row. It literally means to pick out something and put it in a line or in a row. As we make up our words, what do? Remember that one, brother? Put one word in our vocabulary and the line of another like a fence post. Okay? And we can make our thoughts known to you by way of human speech, which is laleo in Greek. To speak with your mouth. All right? Laleo. This is lego. This means to put in order words. Laleo means the speech. By the means of the speech of it. And then reo is another word. That means the declaration of it, the flowing of it. So you have three different words for word. But they're different. And they kept on saying to ye, upon the last, and then we have the word two there, is two, and sometimes it's in brackets, so actually it isn't there in the original manuscripts, but it's understood. It's a practical substantive, okay? It's something that's understood to be there. It said, in the last days, or in the last time, all right? In the last chronu. Chronu. What word in English do we have from chronu? What?
Chronology.
All right? The study of time. All right? Chronology, time. In the last time, it says. Now, if you read the book, by the way, Brother Don, I haven't told you this, but if you look up on our website, discovertheword.com, you'll see the Book of Enoch on there, and you can copy that whole book, just have it printed out on your computer, and you'll have it. If you want to read what Enoch said, it's down there. It's very interesting. And it says, in the last days or in last time, the word time there, It's a marked off piece of time, usually hours, days, months, years. Okay? But in the last time, it says, they shall be for themselves mockers. They shall be for themselves. Isonte, third person plural, future, indicative, and what kind of a voice when it's for yourself? Which one? Middle voice. You do something for yourself, it's middle voice. They shall be for themselves mockers, imitators, mimickers, sideshow, sales pitches, merchandising religion, like it was something to buy and sell. That's what it's talking about.
You know that?
Yeah. Entertainers. Churches, so much in the world today, like Brother Roger said last night, those of you who are there, a lot of churches, if they don't give an invitation, they don't want to embarrass anybody. Somebody might want to repent. You know, they wouldn't want to do that publicly. I say it's a lot different. The way the word's been preached for the last 2,000 years and about 4,000 years before that, because God called people ungodly buzzards. Remember when Jonah went into Nineveh? Now, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, did he? What kind of ride did Jonah get to Nineveh, Dakota? What kind of ride did Jonah get to Nineveh? That's right. He got in the fish's belly. He wouldn't go. He jumped the ship and ran off. And God sent a great storm against him. And finally he confessed to the crew and the captain on that ship that the reason why they were in great danger was because of him. And they said, well, what should we do? What's your God going to do? He's going to kill us. He said, well, you got one choice. Throw me overboard. And everything's going to be all right. not for Jonah, but for them. Sometimes you can cause a lot of people trouble when you're not doing what God wants you to do. Did you know that? Lots of trouble. Well, they threw him in the water, and he got the ride the rest of the way. A great fish swallowed him. And then it says, in hell, he cried out to God. In Hades, he's dead. He died. That's what in hell. In Hades, the place of departed spirits, in Sheol, he cried out to God and said, Lord, if you'll just send me back, I'll just go ahead and finish the job. Well, God had that fish spit him out on the shore there at Nineveh. Now, why didn't he want to go to Nineveh? That's Syria today, by the way. Why didn't
he want to go?
Well, they were ungodly people, but God had prophesied that God was going to use Nineveh to chastise Israel. And God had told Jonah, he said, if I want them saved over there, if you go over there, I will save that nation. Because God was going to use them. Sometimes God even uses the ungodly. Except this nation was going to be born again in a day. Now, they might not have been saved when God used them, but they at least saved at this point, and this generation was. He didn't want to go. Well, God put him there, and he got out, and he preached like I preached to my Uncle Bill. That guy had beaten, tortured me all of my life, and when he was dying up in the hospital, I got thinking of God, the Holy Spirit put on my heart to go up there and talk to this rat that had tortured me all my life. He was a terrible man. I went up there and I told Bill, you are dying and you are going to hell. You have no hope at all because you have lived a life that is so horrible that I don't know anybody that's worse than you. I said, I know you killed 2 or 3 people in that Bible. And I said, all the things that you did to the little kids in the neighborhood, all the toys that you ever stole from being sold for wine bottles, I said, you're going to pay for every one of them. He's sitting there just bawling his eyes out. And I said, you don't have any hope except one, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said, I'm sorry, I want to be saved. Amen. And he was. And you know what? He lived for a little while longer. And he went to church with his sister. Then later on, I got his Bibles. My cousin gave them to me, and his dad had written in those Bibles so many years, one of them in 1904 or 5. That prayed that he would become a preacher. And he prayed and he gave him his Bibles and wanted him to know he prayed and he wanted God to have a great place in his life. Well, he was a thug. And again, in 1920-something, he gave him another Bible and wrote messages in. Told him he'd make good sermons and everything else. Bill was a derelict. Horrible man. A cruel man. But God saved him in the last minute, just like he was about to save Nineveh. Jonah went in and preached to Nineveh, and every one of them repented. He preached with a vengeance. God is going to kill you. He's going to lay this place waste. You have no hope. And they said that they fasted, they put on sackcloth, threw ashes over their heads. I mean, this is a sign of mourning and repentance, and cried to God to forgive them. And when God forgave them, Jonah got. I walked out of that hospital that night from my uncle angry. Because God had saved that old reprobate. But you know what? God knew what he was doing. And not until a few years ago that I know and I could appreciate that God answered a good old man's prayers when he saved his boy. 70 years probably plus after he had died. So many years. After he died, his prayers were answered. Well, these people here, it says they're going to be mockers. According to their own lust, imitators, entertainers, according to of themselves lust, epithemios. Now this word epithemios means to hold upon the mind. Now we understand in the Bible that it's not wrong to keep your mind obsessed on a certain thing. One of the things you can think about is Christ and His cause for your life. It's not wrong to be
absolutely to hold that upon your mind, to be obsessed with it, is it?
Lusts. And then it says going after. Here we have present participle, again, non-plural masculine, present participle, and guess what kind of voice it is, Brother Don?
Middle voice. You know what? The Bible is absolutely inspired, even down to the voices.
It is beautiful. It is there. Seeking for themselves, going after these lusting things that they're lusting after. And Jude talks about preachers. They get up and preach for money. They get up and preach for fame. They're not preaching for God. And all you have to do is turn the television on and figure that situation out. Mm-hmm. It's very easy. I mean, I don't have to delineate and go and name them all off. You know who I'm talking about and what I'm talking about. And then it says the ton asebion. Ton asebion. Asebion. Remember what that word means. What does that word asebius mean? Asebius. Eusebius means what? To handle yourself carefully before God. What about Eusebius? It means to be reckless. Uncareful. Unpersuaded. Untouched. It can mean unworshipful ones. It can mean recklessly blasphemous ones. And I have used these same terms before. These people, these careless people, are running off and seeking after their own ungodly desires and lusts. Verse 19. Hutoi. Asim. Boy. Apovi rizontes. Sokikoi. Numa. May Econtes. This is a short verse, but it's dynamite. This is atomic energy right here. Look at this page. You've got to see that one. It's all written up, see? Dynamite. You know, I think about it so many times. I write all over my Bible. I have always. I've written and worn out many Bibles. And people look at my Bible sometimes and just, oh, and some people, well, you, that's blasphemy. You wrote in your Bible like that. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not how much you write in your Bible, but how much the Bible writes in you and on your heart many times. And there's a lot of writing here. Verse 19. And I hope it writes upon our hearts these warnings of God. These ones, now who are these ones?
The mockers.
All right, the mockers. The careless ones. The blasphemers. People that go into churches to tear churches up.
Unsaved people
in church. People in cults and isms. These today are the ones making separations. This word agitating comes from this one. Splitting and dividing. It's apo dio risontes. Nominative plural masculine. Present participle active. It is to make a difference. You go in and and they said, well, yeah, but this isn't what the Bible means. But it means, what this literally means is that it comes to the word horizon. And to make a chop-off point is what it means. To make divisions. To split hairs is what it's talking about. To cause divisions and problems over little things. Remember, we've heard a lot of preaching from Roger and Phil lately about the divisions and people causing divisions. Well, Jude had problems with them back in his time. And that's exactly the word here. Apo, dia, and horizo. Our word horizon comes from horizo. All right? Horizon. And horizon is a place of stopping, isn't it? Well, you believe this, but that's wrong. That's wrong. Here is the dividing point between what you say and what I say. And you're wrong. You are so wrong, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe like me. And they go in and they start a faction in the church and they split the church up. And they divide. Alright? That's what happens here. And these are lost people. What happened in these early churches that caused problems? Who came into the early churches and caused problems? What did the Gnostics? Alright. At this very time, there were people teaching that Jesus Christ was not God in the flesh. There were people teaching that Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead. And they were taking Paul's writings and trying to twist them up and saying that Jesus Christ was not really God. That He was not Jehovah in the flesh. Do we have that problem today in churches? And in cults today? Every cult does away with Jesus Christ, don't they? Yeah. Even Jehovah Witnesses. They say, Lord, Jehovah Witnesses. Who is Jehovah? He's Jesus. The one who shall become. Do they deny Him?
Yeah.
Absolutely. They deny Him. He is being denied by them. And then the word psukikoi. Psukikoi. Psukikoi.
Soulish.
Soulish ones. Natural ones. Worldlings, as R.G. Lee would have called them. Worldlings, carnal, minded, animals. Animals. That don't think, just do. Their desires and lusts drive them to action. No matter what, without thought.
Catholic Church is full of them. They're coming out now.
Yeah.
Right after the middle of the.
Yeah.
And not just not the Catholic Church, but plenty of them in other churches too.
Yeah.
Look at how many.
Yeah. Natural worldlings. Creatures. Creatures is what they are. Creatures. Not, you know, man is a glorious individual. Did you know that? Really? Man makes himself into dirt in reality. But you, the first man was made in the very shadow-casting likeness and blood-flowing and spiritual image of God. He was a glorious king on the earth. And some men will be kings for the eternal ages and princes forever. That's what God wants us. He wants the highest for you. He doesn't want you to be in the gutter. He doesn't. He doesn't want you to be in the garbage pit. He doesn't want the worst things in this world in your life. What do you think when you think of sin? What do you think of? Casinos? Gambling joints? Smoke-filled bar rooms? Dance halls? A bottle of booze? What do you think of?
That was the pride and greed.
All of those things, pride and greed is involved in it. Pride and greed. God, sex is not wrong, but it is right only in a certain place. And the world is chasing it from every angle, aren't they? Well, is money wrong? What is wrong with money? People wanting to get it for nothing. What did the Bible say? How are you supposed to get money? By the sweat of your brow. That doesn't mean now going in some gambling joint or the lottery or whatever else. It means working for it. And when you get something for free, it never, you never, what? You never appreciate it, do you? Well, I'll tell you what, when you work for it, you appreciate everything that you have. I mean, every little bit of it. Every little bit of it. How about booze? What does that do? Makes you feel real good. They think. I mean, I'll never get over this. You take a drink of whiskey and you gag and can't hardly swallow it. Boy, it's good stuff. Choking to death. And then you lose your brain. You can't find it for a while. You're in wonderful shape. And then when you're having a hangover, you say, God, please, don't let me die. I'll just never do this again if you just let me live through this one. But you go on and do it again, don't you? And again, and again, and again. These are the lusts of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh. You know what? You can get drunk in the Holy Spirit. You can't. You can get so excited, you can get as excited in the Holy Spirit as you can out on the dance floor, hooping it up with some gorgeous guy or dame. You can just be as high in God's Spirit as you can be doing that. Amen? You can do it. You can. Have you ever, Brother Don, I pick on him a lot. In your life, and you've been around for a long time, done a lot of things, been a lot of places, is there any substitute for doing the will of God?
None.
The Bible teaches us to study His Word. Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not blush, rightly cutting straight the Word of God. And if you do that, then what else? You're going to need to pray. You don't get any understanding without prayer and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And then you have conviction. And conviction leads you, supposedly, to obedience. So we have study, we have prayer, and we have conviction, which leads us to obedience. You want to be blessed with God, then be obedient. And you will be happier being obedient than any other time. Have you ever seen anything more happy than a little child when they went and did something for their mom or daddy and their faces is blooming and just showing all the pride in what they have done and how, and they want to please mama or daddy. And they come up, Mama, I have a surprise for you. Daddy, look what I did for you. They're happy, aren't they? They're really happy. You can do that too. You can be happy like that. You can stay happy like that. But to do that, you have to study, you have to pray, and you have to be obedient to what God reveals for you to do. You want God to bless you? Then be obedient. All right, here, and the last thing, it says, Numa me econtes. Numa me econtes. What's Numa?
Spirit.
Now, we have a absolute, diametrically opposed last part of this sentence than it was in the front. It says, these here, ones making divisions and separations, those that point out the horizons, they are soulish. They are carnal. They are animistic. They're just brute animals. Then it says in the last part of it, not spirit having. Not what spirit?
Holy Spirit.
The Spirit of God. They don't have the Spirit of God. They're in there trying to teach things in churches, and they don't have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Do you think that God's Spirit
whatever leads you to preach heresy. Would God's Spirit ever lead you to preach a lie? Would God's Spirit ever lead you to found a false religious system? But if you go out and you see these people, Herbert W. Armstrong used to say the gospel hadn't been preached for 1,800 years until he split her horizon with his presence. But Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not wrestle down my assembly until I come back for her. That I'll be there until the end. She will not be destroyed. He said, I'll be by her. And he's the one that stood by her by the Spirit of God through all the persecution, through all the millions of people that died for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints, as Jude said. Having not the Spirit of God, and it's nominative plural masculine, present participle active, they don't want to have it. They continually resist the Spirit of God. They continually don't want to have anything with the Spirit of God. They're going to do their own way and their own thing. I am going to do it. Verse 20. Himes de agapetoi epoi ko domuntes hiatos te higa o tete himon piste en numate hagio pros eukomenoi. All right. Here's another one that we could spend a week on. And even the last verse, I probably ought to go back there and look at a few other cross references. Look at James 3 and verse 15. Going back, because we got to go back there. James 3 and verse 15. Who's got it? There's Joanne, I don't.
He's fast.
Not by your looking.
James. 3:15. James. James is the same word for Jacob, by the way, in the Old Testament. Jacob and James are the same name. It's right after the book of Hebrews. Right before 1 and 2 Peter. James 3:15. James is a hard preacher. Who was James, by the way? Alright, who's Jude? These two guys here, Jude and James, are brothers. By the way, they are full brothers, aren't they?
James, she's got it.
Alright, 3:15.
James 3:15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic.
All right. Wisdom of the world is what? Earthly, sensual, and demonic. All right, that's going back here just a little bit, back in this verse 19. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:14 and 15:44. We've got to look at these two. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Got to go back and cross-reference. Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2:14.
But people who aren't Christians can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means.
All right. See the Spirit, what we're talking, the Spirit not having. Okay, 15:44 in the same book, 1 Corinthians 15:44. And then let somebody else turn to Romans, the first chapter, verses 19. Okay, Romans 1 and 19. This is very important that you cross-reference. You go ahead.
They are natural human bodies now, But when they are raised, they will be spiritual bodies, for just as there are natural bodies, so also there are spiritual bodies.
All right. There are natural individuals that are just natural, soulish, and they're spiritual, too. It makes a difference between them right there. It says one, it says the other. It's showing the difference in it. Okay, Romans, the first chapter. Levine.
119?
Yes.
Because they wish to be known of God, is manifest in them, God has showed out unto them.
Go on.
Okay. For the invisible things of him and the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power of the Godhead, so that we are without excuse.
All right. What it's saying here is that some people do not want to know the Word of God. That even an aborigine down in South America, out in the absolute jungle, knows that lying and stealing and adultery is wrong. Every human being in the world knows that. But there are outlaws among men. And the outlaws are looked upon as sinners or outlaws. Because it's wrong. How did it get there to them? How does every individual in the world, without even a Bible, know about God?
It was given to them at birth.
Well, what do you see outside when you walk out of this building? You have the Bible in here, don't you? What do you have when you have to go outside?
Holy Ghost.
Dakota. What do you have outside? The Holy Spirit leads you, for sure. The Holy Spirit convicts and tries to lead everybody. Son, don't go. But what do you want to say? What do you see when you get outside and go? What do you walk on?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, besides cement, what's green?
Mm-hmm.
Grass. What does grass do?
Mm-hmm.
What's the tree do?
Mm-hmm.
What's the blue sky do? What's the ocean tell you? It tells you it's got a creator and a maker.
Someone's making it be there.
Huh?
Somebody made it be there.
Oh, yeah, somebody made it there. All right. Here's a scratched up old watch. Tell me about what the face of that watch says there, Johnny. You can't see it. How about it, Brother Bill?
It says money. It's a Rolex.
That says Rolex. What else is it say? What else is say there?
Quartz chronographic.
Oyster perpetual.
Yeah.
In other words, it's waterproof and it's got a self-winding. All right. Now that's a Rolex watch, and it came from Switzerland, Geneva, Switzerland, where it was made. Now, but there's not really a Rolex company in Geneva, Switzerland.
Yeah,
a Seiko. That came from Japan.
Don't keep backwards.
Yeah. But just think about it for a minute. Now, if I said there a Rolex watch company did not exist, would I be a fool? Because they built a watch, didn't they?
Right.
And because they built this watch, if you look inside of it, it's 26 jewels. It's an automatic movement. It says this. It says Rolex all over inside, tells you all about it. Adjusted, six positions, and all of this. It tells you about all of it inside. And for me to say that if there was not a watchmaker that made this watch would be foolish. It just had to be a fool. But a blade of grass is more absolutely finite than this watch.
More perfect.
You can cut that grass up. And you know what? It will come right back up. It fixes itself. You can go out there and you can prune a tree, and every year the fruit will fall off of it and the leaves will fall off, and next year it makes new ones. What does it tell you? That it's got a creator, it's got a maker. Dakota. What?
An outlaw.
Oh, an outlaw? Somebody does something wrong. That won't go according to the rules. That cannot adhere to rules. That's what an outlaw is. there's outlaws that won't believe in God. There are. Are you an outlaw if you don't believe in God? Are you?
Yeah.
If you don't believe in God, could you be a good person?
Yes.
According to the Word of God.
Yes.
Could you really be a good person?
Oh.
You might get along with people and everything else, but according to the Word of God and according to His standards, would you be a good person? You'd be an outlaw, wouldn't you? An outlaw.
You'd be an Antichrist.
Yes, you would. Why would you be an Antichrist if you didn't believe in God?
Because
you didn't believe in the Christ that God sent. There was a movie here a while back about a guy, and he lost his wife, and he was very depressed. He loved her so much, and he was a shipbuilder. He loved to build ships, and they were going to build a ship and name it after them and everything. And finally, he finally found a new love in his life, someone that. In the stormy water, and there was another family out there in stormy water, and he jumped in the water and saved their lives, but he lost his life in the process. He died in the process. There's a great loss there. A great loss. There's a lot of people drowned lately around Bakersfield, that's in the Kern River and the Lake Isabella and everything. And there's a lot of people drowning in the world today. Drowning in the world today. Religiously. They're going down for the third time. They're going down. And they have somebody swimming out there to save them that is going to die for every one of them. Now, who is this? Jesus Christ. Physical death means nothing. Physical life in this world. This life is just a little while. If you live to be 100 years old, it's a little while, and you lose it, the last part of the life is terrible, isn't it? Old. I was walking up when Scott came up a while ago. I said, yeah, we're going to have class like this, and I was limping away. I stepped up, I had my suitcase and camera in my hand, and I stepped up the stairs, and my left knee came out of place. It slipped. It just nothing there to hold it in place sometimes. And it hurts real bad. So what are you limping for? Too many miles. It's called old age. It's catching up with me. Wear it out. You don't get any more. Well, when you get the last book, the last chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that the grasshopper drags himself along. Just before he dies, he's dragging his old legs, just barely can go. Just barely dragging himself. And that's the way we are. If we make it to be 70 or 80, or 90 years old, we are dragging. Dragging. Most of the time, if you're not dragging in your right age, you better say hallelujah. Maybe you got the Methuselah gene in you or something. Dragging. Dragging your old bones along. There's an Indian saying, and this is a joke, and the Indians, they greet each other and they say, how's your bones? How's your bones? How are they? Just rattling along. Barely going. Dragging every inch of the way. I'm going to tell you what. Old age prepares you for the grave. It should prepare you to meet God. because life isn't pleasant anymore. You, some of you out there, are in the prime of your life. You can still jump a five rail fence
and do it with ease, and when you get on the other side, you don't twist your ankle.
But there's a time when you can't jump them five rail fences. And if you do, you land on the other side and break your neck. It's rough. Life gets rough. Anymore, I love to do mechanic work, but anymore, if I pull very hard on a wrench, man, for 4 or 5 days, I know I did it. It tells me. Age. Age should prepare you to meet your God. It should. It should prepare you to meet God. Because you're going to. These people that we've talked about here refused to come to God, and God has a place prepared for them. It's called hell. And Jude and Enoch plainly say that so many times. The Apostle Peter in 1 and 2 Peter tells us about the place of hell, the place in deep darkness. You don't have to go there. But if you, the only way to get out of there is to repent and to call upon the Savior, the Life Saver. Because He already did it. And if you don't do it, then you're guilty of His blood. You're guilty of it. Thank you for your attention tonight. I hope that you learned something from the Word of God. We'll take off on verse number 20 next week. And if you got a question or something, too, bring it concerning this. And see you Sunday morning, too. And let's be dismissed in prayer. Bill, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time of fellowship and for learning. And we thank you for the people that would do it, Lord. We pray for their health. And we know Dakota's having a bad time this week. We pray that you'll touch her little body, Lord, that she might get to feeling better. And Lord, we just thank you. And thank you for the job you give us today and for the answer of these other prayers. And pray that you'll just go with us and guide us, Lord, and always be next to us and show us the way. Lord, may this thing stand just for you. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's holy name, Lord.
Amen.
I was going to say, Brother Jim.
Yeah.
I have to say, Ms. Tagovich, because the first bionic man, they have a computer now for the paragility to walk.
Oh, really?
With this deal. You put it in the stomach right here, computer, and it makes him walk, get up a little bit. And this is within a year to be able to have it, to make it small enough so they can. This guy was in a walker like this. He was a paraplegic. He wasn't able to play with his kids or nothing. Somebody from overseas.